when you run a private practice, you're not just a therapist, you're a business owner, a compliance officer, a marketing team, and most of all, a human being. The team at Alma gets that at a very real level. They make it easy to take insurance with support and with tools that keep your private practice running smoothly so that you can practice and focus on what matters the most, which is serving our clients well. They have an all-in-one EHR, a peer community, as well as free CEUs, meaning that you're not navigating the private practice journey on your own. You can learn more about Alma and the awesome services that they provide over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Alma is spelled A-L-M-A, and if you go through that link, you get 2 months absolutely free. sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 282 of Selling the Couch. I hope that you're doing well. I'm actually recording this at the end of April, and it's 85 degrees here today. So right after this podcast, well, actually, I have a meeting right after, but right after that meeting, I'm going to be enjoying a nice hike. This has been one of the things that I've been trying to do during this pandemic, and is to incorporate like multiple daily hike or multiple hikes during the week. And it's just been really good in terms of self-care. So today's podcast session is a coaching call. And this is something that we have been doing starting this year, just because I feel like I have learned a lot when it comes to podcasting and creating online courses. And a few months ago, we had a coaching call all on podcasting. And I thought this one, and that's episode 275 that aired on May 20th. But this one, I wanted to do one all about online courses. I know that many of us have plans to launch one. And today I'm joined by Kristen Boyce. Kristen is a therapist in private practice who has a very successful group practice. Her website is at pathwaystohealingcounseling.com. And then the professional personal website is over at kristendboyce.com. And Kristen has a podcast, and in the course of doing this podcast, she's realized that there's this real need among her listeners, and she's been thinking a lot about creating an online course. The podcast is called Close the Chapter, and it's all about closing the chapter of certain things in our lives so that we can open ourselves up to new opportunities. And so today we're going to go and dive into this online course idea. I'm going to share some of the just lessons and things that I've learned along the way. More specifically, we're actually going to cover two things. So Kristen has this plan or wanted to just hear thoughts on creating like a live version of a course versus like a pre-recorded one. What are sort of the thoughts and rationale around that? And I'm definitely like sharing quite a bit of things that I've learned along the way. And then we're going to wrap up with sort of a pre-launch strategy. How do you actually get buyers for your course before you launch it? This is actually one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen a lot with our colleagues, which is spending a lot of time and money creating a course, but not being sure if there's actually people who want to buy it.
Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years. But we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop.
And so we'll dive right into all of that. So we'll get right to today's coaching call. Here's my coaching call with Kristen Boyce from kristendboyce.com and pathwaystohealingcounseling.com.
Hey, Kristen, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Thank you so much, Melvin, for having me. It's such an honor and privilege to be here, and I appreciate your time and your heart.
I'm grateful for your courage to do something like this, because I know that
many of us have, many of us want to launch an online course. I truly feel like all of us have an online course, or at least one within us, just given our range of experiences and clinical skills. And yeah, I'm just grateful for your courage. When I was talking to Christian before we got started, I was like, hey, listen, however you want to use this 25 minutes, I truly just want to be of value and service. And so, Christian, I'll turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, maybe even like what made you think about doing an online course and even some of the ideas, and then we can just jump right in. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful. So it all started when I started the podcast almost 2 years ago. We're about 105 episodes in of the Close the Chapter podcast. And I wanted to offer my community another layer to go deeper with the personal work if they have a growth mindset and they want to do work in between sessions with a therapist. So a lot of people that I see, a lot of clients say, I really want to find a community of people and friends that are willing to do deeper work. And a lot of the people I know aren't working on the deeper work or don't know how to talk and connect emotionally, and they're scared to do vulnerability. And so this whole idea birthed through the podcast and through clients wanting to have an extended community of people to connect with. So the course idea came through with, how do I start off building a course with some foundational pieces for people to be able to cope with all the hard, challenging time in their lives right now, dealing with fear, shame, feeling abandoned and lonely? And how do I begin to help build some pillars, some foundational pieces for people? And that's where the idea for a course came through.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, I think one of the things that really stood out to me in what you just shared is there's actually like demand and interest, like the people that who could potentially invest in this course, they're saying like, hey, this is what we're missing, you know? And I think that's often the best things. Like one of the things I've learned is creating a course or creating membership site course, whatever it is, based on a need versus just creating it and hoping that there's a need is like such a different way of looking at it. So props to you. So there's this need there, right? And as you're sort of thinking about it, I guess maybe the one question I had, and I'll turn it to you over, why an online course there's a bunch of different ways, right?
I think the pull towards an online course is getting the information out to more people that are curious or want more from the podcast or in between their therapy sessions, to have something they can refer back to that's pivotal, foundational information that they can, it's almost like a library of sorts where they can go back, they can watch the modules, they can go back if they need to, ask deeper questions if they want to. And I guess my question is, starting it off live, doing a live recording versus doing a tape, what I'm calling it taped. Okay, I'm dating myself. recorded.
Pre-recorded, kind of.
Pre-recorded. Thank you. I'm thinking of cassette tapes when you pre-record it. So my gut says I want to do it live because I like that interaction with the community. So I'd love your feedback on one, your feedback on doing it live versus doing a recording. And then I know I'm jumping ahead, but we get the idea for the course and then how do we launch it?
Yeah, right.
So the launch seems to be a big piece of a course.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's like two parts and we'll definitely tackle each. So the first is sort of a live version of a course versus pre-recorded. And the second one is just the launching of it. How do you launch it in an effective way, right? That actually creates demand, right? So I don't know that I would have like fully realized this, honestly, when I first launched or was even thinking about an online course, but I absolutely think a live version of a course and at least going through a live version at least one time, optimally 2 to 3 times, is a really wise idea. The reasons I'll mention are, I realized there are a couple of things. So one, with a live, like I always recommend like a 6 week, because I feel like 4 weeks is kind of a little short where it's hard to kind of dive and deep in and for the members to kind of connect with each other, the members to connect with you. But something like an 8 week or 12 week, that can be quite a time expense. So I think like a 6 week is optimal. The other reasons that I like a live is it gives you as the online course creator an idea, and it gives you the opportunity to co-create your future digital version of the course with your live members, right? So you and I may have an idea of like, hey, these are some modules that people would find helpful. But the best validator is actually the people who would purchase that course, right? Them giving you the feedback and then taking your knowledge and sort of integrating those two. I mean, I'm a big proponent of lives. In fact, you know, like the second online course, which is a course on courses launching next year, that's my plan, is to at least do two versions of, at least one version, possibly two or even three versions of a live kind of 6 week thing. Like, hey guys, in week one, we're going to cover gear and software related to online courses. The second week, we're going to cover pre-launch, right? So you sort of pick big topics that you think would resonate for folks. And what I would recommend is something like a, kind of depends. I mean, even I'm kind of curious to hear from you. Like, so I think it could be like a 60 or a 90 minute, right? Or you could do like a one, you know, let's say it's like a 90 minute commitment per week. There could be like a 45 minutes of teaching, 45 minutes of office hours. You know, so you could break those up, but yeah, I like that combo just because there's the teaching part. So you kind of know you can tweak your teaching, right? And almost like create the content for your digital version of the course, right? While you're going through the live, get feedback, but then you also have like call it office hours or whatever it is, right? And that way you give feedback to the members and you're serving them. And I'm a big fan of the live also because those could be future testimonials for your digital version, right? If you've gone through and they've done what you're teaching, then those are like great testimonials. So then once you get to that second question of when you actually launch or pre-launch that digital version, you already have folks that have gone through it. You get testimonials already. Because I mean, I'm curious, like, you know, I know for me, at least when I'm thinking about courses, that's probably one of the biggest sections I look at. Right? How, like, what's been other people's experience of it? And if I don't see any sort of testimonial page, kind of like, oh, you know, am I going to be like the first one or, you know?
Exactly. Yes. I like that with the testimonials, that it gives you that ability to quickly get those testimonials.
Yeah, absolutely. What I know we've talked about this, like, you know, privately, but like just for, you know, for the folks listening, what are, I guess, even the, we've talked a lot about like niching, right? And so what are some of the ideas that you even have for like how you'll sort of go down and sort of niche down that course?
I think this has been one of my biggest challenges, is niching down, because as therapists, we see a lot of variety in our work and that we can specialize. I'm EMDR trained and brain spotting trained as well. So I was trying to brainstorm with Close the Chapter. There's a lot of options because that's the name of the podcast. And that's the biggest area I think I'm struggling with, is niching down and how to niche down, because I see a lot of codependency, people pleasing, shame work, you know, not feeling good enough, holding people back from speaking their truth, from other people's reactivity. So I find that I attract a lot of people trying to find their voice and free themselves from the conditioning and really step into more vulnerability.
Yeah.
So that seems to be where I enjoy that. And I kind of lean in that direction. I also do a weekly or biweekly now Mental Health Monday with our mayor here. I know we've talked about that in my town. There's about 50,000 residents here, and it's now expanded because on Facebook Live, it can go in
all around the world.
I had no idea that this would take off and people were thirsty for help. I knew people were thirsty for help during quarantine. I didn't know how much it would take off. And the themes in the Mental Health Monday that seemed to be reoccurring is people, one, feeling shame, feeling not good enough. I mean, that seems to, and I love Dr. Brené Brown's work. Of course, she's really pioneered this into the world. And I see it as an epidemic. I see it as an epidemic of people feeling not good enough and scared, scared to speak up, scared to set a boundary, scared to say how they really feel. And that's what I feel passionate about. So when I niche it down, that's the sweet spot that I think I am passionate about and feel like I can offer some value.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even just when you were sharing, like I felt that like there was that emotional, you got in touch with that passion, right? And I mean, this isn't like an empirically validated thing or anything, but like, I feel like so much of online course building, I think a lot of times there's an emphasis on like the launch. But for me, it's like, this is something I've learned with Hellcasters, man, it is a long-term game. And it sounds so basic, but you should be passionate about that topic. Because I mean, my experience has been, you know, for every, you know, online where you see this like $100,000 course launch, right? For every one of those, I think there are like 99 others of us that sort of build it very slow and steady. And it's like, you know, like a slow drip at the beginning, and it turns slowly, you know. The one thing I would recommend, at least thinking through, is, so I think there's a lot of wisdom in taking sort of a presenting concern and intersecting it with a population, right? Because the one challenge of like creating like a course on shame, unless you're like somebody like really big, like a Brené Brown, I think my concern is always it's going to be too general. Right. So think about it like from a consumer perspective, right? Why would they consume a general course on shame when, one, there's 8 million things on YouTube? There's like, you know,
you spark something so good. Yes.
Right. So I think and Pat Flynn says this, and this is always, I don't think he's the original person, but he said it enough where I give him credit, but the riches are in the niches, you know? And so, I mean, I know we've talked about this, whether you want to go into like a certain population, like shame among executives, but I actually think there could even be something deeper there, like executives in a unique life situation, right? Shame of, you know, a course for executives leaving one Fortune 500 company and going to another, if that's like even a hypothetical situation, you know? So it's like a very small percentage, but yours becomes the only course and option. So the person's like, oh, that's me, you know?
Yeah. The wheels are turning.
Yeah. So I think the other thing that I've kind of learned with online courses, and I think this is where a lot of our colleagues get stuck, which is, you know, they'll say like, I want to create a course on mindfulness or something like that. But what I've seen and just going to conferences, learning from people, and even with the Hellcasters, the best courses take people step by step from one place to another, right? So like Hellcasters, how to go from not having a podcast to successfully launching and growing a podcast, right? Online Course School, how to not have an online course to going to having an online course that is generating recurrent or passive income or, you know, supplemental income for you, right? So think about that. And I guess even as I'm saying that, like what sort of ideas are coming up? Like how do we, I guess what I'm asking is, if shame is the topic, right? What are we moving them from, right? How do we clearly articulate that, right? We're moving them from shame to blank, right?
Yeah, so many ideas were downloading as you were talking, because I think this is where I get stuck, is the topic and how to take it from A to Z. Like you're saying, what's the problem I'm solving and what is the niche in that problem? And I was Rolodexing all my podcasts,
yeah,
in which ones were the most popular out of the podcast episodes and where I see kind of demand or I get a lot of response. And one of the things I wrote down as you were talking is this idea of avoidance. Like we just kind of avoid the hard in, like, we avoid what makes us uncomfortable. We avoid hard conversations. We avoid, and shame, yes, is at the root, or fear underneath that. But this whole idea of avoidance, whether you're an executive making a, trying to coach somebody, or you have to let someone go, or you have to have a hard conversation, people don't know how to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Just, this is really specific, like how to have difficult conversations seems to be a reoccurring, and the idea of avoidance and not having them. So the structure would be, here's how to have these hard conversations. Here's some, because people don't know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. Now, like, the wheels are turning on my head as well. So yeah, it could be, this is a potential, we have to, like, obviously validate this, but I think this could be like a potential course idea, right? Like the course for the C-suite person who has to make, like, again, this is like, we'll have to, like, you know, narrow it down, but who has to have difficult conversations with their employees, or the mid-level manager that has to have difficult conversations and doesn't know how, you know. I think there could even be like a niche down, like firing, or for, you know, for in, like, insubordination, something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And even this whole dynamic, like how to have these hard conversations, and if I niche it down, that's where I can get kind of, because this could be applicable to so many. And then how do you niche it down that resonates? You know, I have to get clear on what resonates.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that there's ever like a smooth way to like realize that. I think like what's been helpful for me is like, again, like what's something that I could honestly spend 5 to 7 to 10 years just talking on and refining and tweaking? And then where is there actual demand for this? You know, I mean, we've talked privately about this, but I know, I mean, you know this way more than me, but I feel like in the world of like corporations and all of this stuff, these are the type of conversations, like there's a lot of demand, like, because you're absolutely right. There's a lot of folks that are struggling with having these difficult conversations, right? And it's impacting productivity, it's impacting like company morale and all of these different things, you know?
Yeah. And they have to learn how to practice it in their own relationships. So if they're not doing it with their loved one, their partner, their family, they have a real hard time transferring that into the business world.
Yeah. Right.
So it really starts with this introspection on what's the fear, and exploring that, and then all the way up to here's how to do it.
Yep.
The skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, as we're thinking about this, it almost sounds like it's, you know, course would be a step-by-step guide on helping blank with blank, right?
I like how you're saying step-by-step guide, because I think that that's helpful to conceptualize, because that's what people want.
Yeah.
They want the step-by-step guide. And I like how you said that.
Yeah, I think I love words like that. And obviously it has to be like true, but yeah, people love like step-by-step templates, framework, those kind of phrases, because if, you know, like if they're investing in a course, right, they want that transformation. And if you're the person that gives them sort of that step-by-step, you know, then yours is the course. I wanted to circle back to that second thing you said about like the pre-launch, because I wanted to make sure we like really thought that through. So I'm a big fan of like validating anything before spending time and money. This is something that I see not just in our profession, but like with a lot of online course creators, is that they have these like beautiful ideas and they'll spend a lot of time and money creating the course, but then nobody like buys, or very few people buy, and they get like super disheartened. So like with the Healthcasters course, and we've talked about this, but literally I think it was like back in a long time ago, like session around 30 of this podcast, I did a solo episode on some of the stuff that I had learned in creating a podcast. And after that episode, I shared it on social media. And colleagues started reaching out to me asking if they could do some consults on how to launch a podcast. And so I realized at that moment, I was like, man, okay, this is kind of cool, because I can, you know, like charge more, right? But it's not exactly scalable, right? Because it's just trading time for income again. But I realized at that point, there was wisdom in it, because I could start to identify patterns that were coming up in these consults, and they could be future content for the online course. So that's something that I would recommend. Get putting some feelers out there, whether it's like thinking about this topic, creating a podcast episode around it, seeing if you can do like some one-off consults. And again, it doesn't have to be more than like, you know, an hour or two, maybe even a month, right? Getting some feelers out there. That way you can get some validation, right? Before you invest. The other way to do it is, I mean, I'm a big fan of like building a segmented email list. So for example, like, you know, with online course school, like I did a A to Z online course guide that I went like heavily promoted it this year, but I looked, I think the other day, and there were, I think 221 people who have downloaded that. So that's like a great validator for me. Like, oh my gosh, there's people really interested in this. So it doesn't have to be like this super book or like crazy book or anything, but it could be a simple, like one page sheet of the step-by-step guide to having, I don't know, again, way to play wording, but like step-by-step guide to letting go of an employee or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Or having difficult conversations, step-by-step, how to lean into a hard conversation or employee or with a blank.
Yeah. And literally it could be step one, step two, step three, step four. I like to incorporate videos into this. And so this is sort of what we did on the online course guide, because I just felt like videos connect with people at a different level. So literally what I did was I have like a Loom has a Loom. So LOOM, you can create these video recordings. So you can either record your screen, you can record yourself, or you can record a combo of your screen and yourself. So what I might even do is like on each of those steps, it might be like, watch this quick 2-minute video from Christian that demonstrates this kind of thing, right? So that you're establishing sort of that trust and authority, right? And then, so starting to build that list, because that's something that I realized with Healthcasters is it's just a lot more empowering to realize there's actually people that are interested in it. And sort of the next level after you create that like simple opt-in is you would want to send like a follow-up email and, you know, just say, hey, Melvin, I hope you enjoyed the checklist I put together. If you haven't, here's the link again. I also included some videos within the checklist to help you, you know, help you navigate these difficult conversations that you may have to have with your employees, right? I'm actually thinking about putting a live 6-week online course together, right? Where I would walk you through this. Here's the things I was thinking about. More than anything, I want to make sure that this is something that would be truly helpful for you. So would you take a moment to like fill out this survey? So you could link then to a Google form or a SurveyMonkey. And then on the SurveyMonkey, you could have the questions. I've seen it both ways where at that last question on the SurveyMonkey is something like, you know, please click here if you would like to reserve a spot in the live course, right? And it sort of takes it to a payment portal. It could be easily as setting it up in PayPal, right? The purpose of that is twofold. One, you're getting data in terms of what people want in the course. And second, you're getting people that are like warmer than even somebody who downloaded the guide, because these are people like, oh, I'd be really interested in this, right? And if they're willing to pay for it, right, which would be amazing, because then you can then almost like take that money and then reinvest that money into like a video editor or something for the actual digital version of the course, you know?
That's great. I love it.
So yeah, man, our time flew. I feel like we would probably talk like for another half an hour on this or at least. But where are you sitting with this, you know, just hearing it?
I think the three things that stood out for me were the niching. And I got a little more clear on the niching down and continuing to build the email list with a opt-in with video was wonderful. And then you can assess who's really wants to sign up and link them to signing up for the course. So you can kind of get a litmus test of, is this going to be viable or not? I can always pivot. I can always change if it's not resonating and survey and find out where do I need to tweak it or what do I need to change or is there a different topic?
Yeah, right. And I feel like, yeah, I mean, you said that so well. I feel like that method is a lot more just mental health wise, financially, it's a lot more better, because otherwise you end up developing a course. And then if nobody buys it, then you realize that after spending all this time, it's better to validate it on the front end, you know? So,
yes. And I know there's more technical questions on the back end of doing a live. And that sounds like that'd be something in your course that you're going to offer, like more of that information.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely incorporate, you know, the tech, and plan is here in the fall is to like send out like a brief survey, like I just shared, of like, hey, what do you guys, this is what I'm thinking about. What would you guys want in this? And I think, you know, and I know you orient this way as well. Like, I think if you come from a genuine place of like wanting to be helpful and have a humility to say like, maybe I don't know everything about exactly what this thing should look like, but I'd rather to like co-create it and truly be helpful. I think that goes like really far, because the Healthcasters course, I mean, you know, we had 8 initial folks that purchased, but they were so instrumental in shaping it, you know? And I'm glad we only had 8, because if we had like the 250 we have now, I would be like, oh my gosh, like, it'd be overwhelming, because I don't think I would have the infrastructure to be able to handle it too. So I think like slow and steady growth is not a bad thing.
I love how you said you had 8 and it was a good thing. So not getting fixated on the number of people that buy the course at the beginning as you're starting off and creating it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think, I mean, we can definitely like talk about this maybe another time, but then I think the other thing is you can then make tweaks to like pricing and stuff like that over time, you know?
Yes. That'd be all my follow-up questions. That's another episode.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, Kristen, thank you again. And please let us know where we can learn more about you. And we're excited. I think we are definitely excited for the course. But yeah, definitely share the sites and let us know where we can learn more about the awesome work you're doing in the world.
Thank you so much, Melvin. I just love your heart. It resonates with me so much, just your energy. So you can find me at kristendboyce.com or pathwaystohealingcounseling.com. And Close the Chapter podcast is also available. And I love it to give to clients in between sessions so they can feel supported and nurtured along the way. That's my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And I sense that. Kristen, I'm just so grateful for you, grateful for our friendship, grateful for this time together, and excited where this course is going.
Thank you so much, Melvin.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kristen, and especially if you have been thinking about launching an online course and just not really sure of how to proceed with it. I hope that today's session has just been helpful for you and definitely gives you new ideas and ways of thinking about it. As I shared, I created a free online course guide that you can download over at sellingthecouch.com/online course guide. It contains a lot of the wisdom that I've learned over the past 6 years with launching the Healthcasters course. I mentioned this in my conversation with Kristen, but literally we had 8 buyers initially at, I believe, $297. It's been a while now that purchased the course, and we've steadily grown it to now over 251 members who have purchased the course. And there has been several podcasts and everything that have launched out of that. And it's been a wonderful journey, but I've definitely learned a lot. So please feel free to download it if it would be helpful for you. And as we mentioned on the call, I'm actually going to be doing a live version of creating an online course. I know it's super meta, but if you download the online course guide, then you can stay up to date with it.
Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online course workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online course workshop.
Great rest of your day, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful, and just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.